Tonight's Tuesday night Big Brother recap is sponsored by our friends over at BetUS. Listen up, sports bettors. Football, basketball, and baseball are back, and that means it's time to get down your bets. And I can only tell you about the best, and BetUS.com is the best. Why do you ask? BetUS is the pioneer in online betting. With more than 25 years in the biz, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. Call today, 1-800-69-BETUS. That's 1-800-69-BETUS. They're going to walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention Rob as a podcast, and you can get up to a 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses, BetUS. They should be your sports book, BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS.com. Join now. Mention Rob as a podcast, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit at BetUS.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's holding on to his wig. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here. Tuesday night. Wait, what's this? What? Yes. Tuesday night veto episode. We will have a break from Big Brother tomorrow night. I believe it's the AMAs? I think I said CMAs the other night. Who knows? Country Music Awards on CBS on Wednesday night. And then we'll be back on Thursday night to talk about the eviction. But we've got a really fun panel for you to talk about it all here with us. First, let me welcome in the YouTube sensation. If you missed it today, you need to go check out the Melissa Denny drunk history reenactment of Keisha's birthday. Here she is, our own superstar, Melissa Denny. The summer of Melissa.
Yay, woo! Yeah, yes, definitely check out the video. I posted it on my Twitter. It's on YouTube and everything. It was very, very fun to make. Well, kind of. It was fun during it. And then afterwards, it was not so fun. But, you know, it's worth it. I think it's funny. Yeah, that I am not drunk right now, just so you know.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. So. No, neither am I. Wink, wink. Okay. It's Melissa with three A's on Twitter if you want to check that out. Okay. Happy to have Melissa here with us on a Tuesday. Normally, Melissa, this would be your night to be the voice of the people on the Stock Watch. You'll have to wait till tomorrow.
You know, tonight I can't be the voice of the people. Not until the round table. I have to wait. So, you know, that's fine. I'll just be my own voice right now. But tomorrow back night. To being the okay. voice of the people.
All right. Tomorrow night, we'll see if this person comes in with a little bit less of an edge on the round table after we get the chance to talk some Big Brother tonight. It's Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Yeah, I honestly thought about that because usually, like, this is the night where I get it all out, and it's in a different format tonight. But I am ready, and it's a very fun night. I'm so excited to be here on the night that Devon has her first competition win, Rob. I'm
yes.
so excited about that.
Okay.
And overall, like, it's just a really stupendous week with maybe an iffy ending. We'll see.
Okay. All right. A lot to talk about here from this episode. And we're excited to have with us for the first time on a recap, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like the Paul Rudd meme, you know, like who would have thought? Look at us here today on this momentous
Look at us.
Occasion. Yes.
Yes.
So okay. I'm just so thankful and channeling my inner Paul today.
Yes. And Sasha, I see that your Twitter handle is up on the screen, funsize_04. And it was a fun size veto that Devon won tonight.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, I think that's probably why karmic just togetherness that this was able to happen.
Okay. It all worked out. All right. So we're going to take your questions later on in the show. If you want to get your questions in, I posted a tweet earlier at Rob Cesternino on Twitter, and you can go ahead and post your questions for the live show here tonight. A couple of updates here at the top. Okay. This is a big one for people. Chatting live. We had a meeting with our moderators last night. And
we did.
Check this out. Okay, one, you can write in all caps. Okay? Take it easy, though. Take it easy. All right. All right. Exactly. Don't go too crazy. Have fun. It's 2020. You do you, chat. Okay. You're allowed to talk in caps. All right. Number two, also, you could post spoilers in the chat. Okay. If you don't want to be spoiled about anything, don't chat live. Okay. Chat's yes. going nuts. No, chat's no lowercase nuts. Letters to be found anywhere.
I love it.
It's all caps. It's all caps. Okay. All right. If you don't want to be spoiled, then just and if people are there's like a live HOH going on or whatever. If you're on the podcast, try not to get distracted. Okay, we're loosey goosey here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the chat is saying we're free.
We're free. You're free, chat.
Yes.
You're free.
No rules.
Yes. Obviously, people, we're not going to discuss any spoilers on the episode until we get to the spoiler section. But if you go into the chat room of your own volition, start reading what they're saying, you take your chances. That's what we're saying here at RHAP.
robhasawebsite.com/patron brings you capital letters now in the chat. Okay. So that's what's going on. Okay. Now let's talk about a little bit of this exciting night, which was disrupted by David using his power. And David is going to use the disruptor power, and he is going to work up lots of fake tears in this episode. He's got fake tears before he uses the power, and then more fake tears after he uses the power. Sasha, what do you think of David's superpower?
I think this is hilarious. And I really was thinking about it all week, like what this bad acting, honestly. But I figured it out, y'all. This is his audition for The Bold and Beautiful. That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly why this is happening. And that's why he's putting these tears, because, you know, he could be a plot twist in Bold and Beautiful, too, not just Big Brother, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Melissa, do you think that that's possible, that we know that David was trying to backdoor get onto Love Island? Is that possible that he's been trying to hit all the CBS shows?
You know, it's totally possible. If this is his audition, then go for it. You know, that's fine. Yeah. But I don't know if we should be using Big Brother. I think that's probably the harder way to get onto a show, to go on Big Brother, compete, stay the whole time, and then try and get on a show. It's really a lot easier to just like go and audition. But, you know. Yeah. If this is the way he wants to do it, that's fine.
Okay. He's got the fake tears going. Brent, are you like David's fake tears?
I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, I thought it was like it took up a lot of the episode, and I would rather see
more. Impressive,
though.
He had like
it was impressive, and it was very fun. And I know we like fun here at RHAP, so I'm cool about that. I'm very fencerton about this. But on the other hand, like, this was really Devon's moment. This was not David's moment. Like David's moment came and went, like in the blink of an eye. Devon's moment, on the other hand, was like, you know, a telenovela, as they say, over 2 days. And it was like, will she or won't she? Even those of us who are fans of her weren't even sure exactly what she was going to do with the veto. She wouldn't even tell Kevin that she was going to use the
You're
veto.
You're mad that they spent too much time on David's
fake
tears.
I'm not mad about it. It's like a choice, you know?
I think the problem is that I think the initial tears is good. Like, if you're trying to make people feel bad for you because you got put on the block and, you know, you don't know what's going on or whatever, that is good. Like, that makes people think you're sad or weak, or like maybe you're not like ready to, you know, go compete in the veto or whatever. But I think that he took it too far with the after someone uses a power on you, if anything, you wouldn't be crying unless you're crying happy tears. Like, you might just be like, oh my God, like maybe shocked maybe would have been the better emotion to play. But instead he played just like sad and then like Sherlock Holmes or something.
Like, can we talk about this?
Weird.
Yeah, like this is where his inexperience shows, because like, yeah, it's a great idea, Sasha, to you know, say, oh, I'm gonna pretend that I didn't have the power and I'm gonna cry, and I say, ask people, like, you know, did you use the power on me? But he didn't like think from A to B to C because he hasn't played Big Brother before. Again, he's a rookie. He's not thinking, okay, so logically here, obviously no one would have used the power on me because they themselves could go up as a replacement and not me. So it has to, by default, be me and everyone else in the house. But David knows that it's obviously him.
No, and not just that. It's in addition, right, to like having this bad read about like, oh, who is it going to be? It's you. Yeah. And like, I think why did you not bring in your people beforehand and like kind of just like be like, this is a great way for me to use this as some leverage. They talked about it on the live feed, so I don't want to keep bringing it up more, but like, I'm so frustrated that he just used it. That's it. Right. Like, I needed some more, like, strike some deals, do something with it.
Yeah. Plus, I thought, like, it was just for fun. Yeah.
You gain credibility by doing things in the game and playing powers. And instead, he's like, he looks pathetic because it's like, oh, somebody had to save me. Somebody rescued me. I wonder
he's gonna
who
reveal
was.
On finale night, Melissa.
Well, if he gets there, I just feel like it's like
no one will care.
And also that's the thing, it's like no one will care at that point.
No one will care by then.
Like, remember when Tyler was like, oh, like I had a power and I didn't use it? Like, no one cared. It was like already we have our minds made up. Like, by that point, they've already decided whether you're a good player or not. So I think that like David should have been using this to his advantage to be like, look, like I can win things. I use this power to save myself. Like, you guys tried to get me out this week and look, you couldn't do it because of me. Not like somebody just randomly saved me. I don't know who it was and we'll never find out. Like, this is stupid.
No, that's totally right. I'm totally in agreement with Melissa on this one, because like we talked about this before under the round tables, the fact that for, you know, one reason or another, powers are used in the game as ways to measure people. Like, oh, you know, even if you're given it by America and something happens to you, people like, oh, well, you did that. You took somebody off the block with the power that America randomly gave you with a fan vote or something. But he actually won this power. This was even better. So he obviously should have used it and told people like, hey, like, and owned it, like own your stuff, man. Because here's the thing. I fought with people on Twitter about this and they were like, no, but I love the paranoia and the dissonance that he's causing within the big alliance because they don't know who used the power. Honey, they know who used the power. Mm-hmm. They know who used the power.
Yeah,
and
this wasn't
whatever
a good move.
That you thought they were getting like lasted for like a minute. And I thought like he needed something on his resume, some long-term credibility in order to, again, what's the goal, Rob? To win the $500,000 and win the game. I feel like this would have helped it.
Yeah, but this is classic David. And I love David, and I'm happy he's here. I don't want to hear anything else bad about him because he's he's delivering.
Good.
That he's cracking me up, and I love what he's doing in the house.
He's gotten better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This was better. this was really the first moment, right, of like the change that the big alliance isn't getting power and isn't getting like some change. So he got the ball rolling, so I can't be too mad at him.
Yes.
I mean, he saved this week, him and Davon. They saved this week. I mean, this would have been okay, either it's Kevin or David leaving and that's the end of that, but they saved the week. They single-handedly or double-handedly, because it's two of them, saved the week. Like, I mean, we have to give the credit to that. So
yes, I'm here for David and his comically terrible gameplay here in this house. So
I am too.
Even if he's like sort of like the character in the game who everybody else is playing so tight and so nervous, you got to keep it with the big group and just sort of like by dumb luck, like he's shaking things up. I'm here for it. So
yeah, he's like the guy at the poker table who has like money but doesn't know how to play Texas Hold'em and is like, I go all in, you know, like,
that's exactly who he is. And you know he's not good in the dark, but apparently now he is. So here we are.
Okay. So they use the disruptor power, and then we get the disruptor lady voice. I thought that this was an interesting creative choice. Here's the disruptor lady.
The disruptor power is now out of play. Good luck. You're all going to need it.
That was a little evil for not really sure why everybody's going to need luck after the disruptor got used. It's over.
Yeah. I'd be happy. It's out of play. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And if you're somebody else who knows maybe where one or both of the other powers are, then you feel a lot better about yourself right now. So that was definitely a choice as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sticking with David momentarily, David goes around the house and then tries to ask who saved him. Who saved him? And it's pretty hilarious. Even, you know, Cody can't even look at him with a straight face. This was like when Danny was asking Cody about who the hinky vote was, and Cody's like, no, it was you. You were like, no.
You literally just talked to me about
Cody is not even giving David the time of day. Like, all right, yeah, like somebody save you. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. Who would save you?
I will say this. Like, if there's something that Cody Califiore knows, it's bad acting. I'll just say.
Yeah, he's like, where did everybody go? They disappeared.
Yeah. So
you
I like
clock that shit a mile away.
Yeah. I liked David going through that with everybody. But Tyler and Danny are going to have a conversation. And that Sasha, they had made a truce. Even though Tyler said, you could put me on the block. It's okay. I don't care. I deserve it. But then they made a truce. But then she did put him on the block. And she tells us in the diary room, she does want Tyler to go home.
I think in that moment, like as soon as the voiceover came on, right, the disruptor, Danny immediately knew what was going on. Like she, because in the bed, I think she was with Nicole, right? Yes. In the bed. And she was like, oh no, it's happening. What do I do? What do I do? So I think immediately Danny knew. And she was thinking about it even on the way down to the dining table. So I think she knew she was going to put Tyler up just because maybe backdoor, maybe not, right? But that name was, I think, mulling around in her head. So I think later on, maybe things change. But at that moment, I really do believe she was going for him because of this drama from last week. And I think he's won a lot. But I know Tyler cannot handle this. He is always pressed when things come for him and when people come for him. So it was glorious, like glorious.
I think, honestly, I think Danny, once she makes this move, I think she needs to get Tyler out. Like Tyler is very good about like smoothing things over, being like, look, like I totally get it. Like we had all that, our issues last week. Like now we're even because now you've put me on the block. Blah, blah, blah. But I think once she's made this move, like she has to go through with it or else he's always going to have in his mind and he's always going to have a reason to put her up, whether it's needed or not. Like he'll always have that. And I think that like, especially in a house when basically there's just so many overlapping alliances and like everybody's like working together, like to have a reason to put somebody up is so crucial. And I think that Danny at that point, when she puts him up, like obviously she was looking to put him up as a backdoor target. Then she puts him up and he still can play in the veto, which is really risky, but he doesn't win the veto. I think now at that point, Danny's got to get him out or else she's in trouble.
Brent, let me ask you about something that Sasha brought up. Do you feel like that Danny was really playing this up, that she knew there was a possibility that she would have to do some sort of a renomination because of the powers, and that she was like playing it up more, that she was like, oh, I didn't know what to do. Kind of like Kevin 2 weeks ago with when he picked Nicole and Cody to go up, where he was just like, I just heard your names. I don't know what to do. I guess Cody right. and Nicole. And everybody saw through it.
So I will say, no, I feel like that she was definitely surprised about this. Like Kevin was definitely shadier in that moment than Danny was. And Danny was not expecting to have to name a new nominee right away. I mean, obviously they knew three powers were out there, but they didn't know what they were. And she knew her power wasn't very powerful. So she's like, well, maybe like it's no big. Like maybe I'm totally in the clear here. So I do think that she... here's the thing. I think she tried to cut the baby down the middle. She tried to saw the baby in half because she put up Tyler as a nominee. She decided in that moment, you know what? I'm going to put up Tyler. There were other people not in her alliance that she could have put up, and she decided to take the shot like and put up Tyler. Now, she's telling us in the diary room that she wants Tyler to go home, but then she's telling Tyler, like, I really want you to stay. And then, like, privately to her allies, she's also saying, I want Tyler to stay. I think, and I talked to a friend of mine about this today, I think that Danny has overlearned the lessons from BB13. I think that she is so scared of making the big move that now she's making the safest move on the board that she can, which in this instance is going to be end up being terrible. And we'll get to it when she names the replacement nominee. But my goodness, she needs to take out. Once you put Tyler up on the block, you have to go after him. She said this herself like a week ago, Rob.
Yeah.
She said this to us. Like, if I take the shot at Tyler, if I make the first shot, I have to make sure that I don't miss. And now she's essentially like saying, oh no, I didn't shoot at you. Did I shoot at you? Like, I didn't shoot at you. Like, really? Like me? Like, I wouldn't. And it's terrible.
I can almost guarantee that like in a couple weeks from now, she's going to be shaking her head. Like, I should have gotten him out while I had the chance. Like, look at me. I'm on the block now. Like, I just can guarantee it. I mean, even if it's not Tyler individually taking the shot at her, it's going to be like Tyler and Cody and Enzo like teaming up and then taking the shot at her. Like it's not good for her, especially like Brent said, with the replacement nominee.
And Ian is a number for her. She has a good relationship with Ian.
Yeah. She said the reason why she can put him on the block is because it won't make anybody upset aside from, because the only person that Ian has connections with is her and Nicole.
Yeah.
For you and Nicole. That's like, fantastic.
What are you doing? That's good for you. Like, he's a connection to you. And you just said his only connection is to you and Nicole. Like, that's good for you.
I just want to add that I spoke yesterday on The Slop with Brendan and Rachel. And Brendan, they actually said, Brent, they said the opposite of what you said, that they felt like that she's repeating the same lesson exactly from Big Brother 13.
Well, I rarely disagree with the royalty of Big Brother, Brendan and Rachel. But no, I think that Dani is really, she really feels it from Big Brother 13, that she made the big move against Brendan and Rachel twice and then immediately paid the price for that when Big Jeff backdoored her the next week. And she has said that in the house, like that she's alluded to that. Like I've done big moves as a fangirl in the past. But this year, I want to play it smart. I want to win the money. I came here to win. I didn't leave my baby and my husband to come here and not win the money. But yeah, I really think that this is weak sauce, Rob. Mm-hmm. And she's going to look back on this. She may ultimately, through events not of her own volition, get through the next week. But I think this is a mistake.
To be fair, I do really like Dani this week, like in the diary room, and the way that she's like, she's hungry for the win and is like,
well,
basically like in the diary room, she's saying the right stuff. I have faith that this is a good player. I have faith that she's doing the right thing, but then she's making moves that aren't necessarily in her best interest. I mean, for the most part this week, it went well, considering that powers were being used. I think the issue here only, at least in my opinion, is the replacement nominee. I think that every other aspect of it was fine. It's like you put up the two pawns, you want to backdoor Tyler. Unfortunately, a power gets used, but then Tyler gets put on the block. And then it's like, then I think the issue happens when Devon wins veto and uses it, and then she makes the wrong move for the replacement nominee. Like, she really should have put up what she said she was doing, which is put up the ultimate pawn. And instead she put up a super, like a sitting duck, essentially.
Yep. Someone who she herself said has no connections to anybody except me and Nicole. So what do you think is going to happen to him, Dani? And by the way, when she put Ian up on the block, like, she's saying in the moment to everybody, like, I need Tyler to go home. I need a pawn. But she's lying to y'all. Mm-hmm. She's lying to the house guests. She's lying to Devon and David and Kevin. If she knew if that veto got used, she was going to put up Ian, and they're all going to pretend that Ian's the pawn. They're going to vote out Ian. They're going to try to on Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, they were going to stage a whole thing, but we can talk about that later, about what they were going to do for for Tyler to feel threatened, even though Tyler was in on it. And I think Danny's not understanding how well insulated she
is. I do want to talk about that when we get to the renomination. Let's get to the veto, where we had a veto where that Dani picks Devon, Tyler picks Ian, Kevin picks Enzo, and Dani asks Devon, whatever you do, just keep the nominations the same. Devon says, you got it. Well, I'm going to win this. Keep the nominations the same. Nicole comes in with the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids laser beam, and she's going to teleport the house guests somewhere. What happened here, Melissa? Can you explain to me the plot of what happened? That this was a teleport ray, but it made them giants?
I think it's that Nicole tried to murder everyone that was in the house so she would win.
She tried to get them off the cast, Melissa.
It went awry somehow. And somehow they ended up with teeny little beers. That's like really like kind of what I got from it.
They shrink the beers? Were they giants?
I don't really know. I gotta say, for this veto competition, like, everybody, or at least what I've seen from Twitter or whatever, is people complaining about it and saying it's stupid. Is this the best they can do? Like, blah, blah, blah. But I have to say that I liked it because I feel like it's one of those weird ones where it's like, we don't know who is going to be good at this and who is not going to be good at this. And I don't think you have to be like a very physical person or a very tiny person or whatever to do a good job. I think that like, it's just random. It's like, it's the same thing I feel. Well, I guess this is a little different, but it just reminded me kind of like the egg competition where you have to put, like, it's like the chicken wire and you have to like put the egg through it. And some people are just really like supernaturally good at it, but like some people are just not. And then you never know who it's going to be. So I think it's one of those style competitions. And I think we need more of that because I feel like this is what makes it random. Like any other veto competition, I feel Tyler would have just like beasted it and been like, okay, great, now I'm safe. But this one, we actually had a shot to have something different happen. And Devon was good at it, apparently. So, yeah.
Rob, I will say that one of our moderators stacked in the chat says, you know what they say? Tiny beers, huge tweezers. So, like, I think that's what happened here. Like, they shrunk the beers, but not the people. And that's why they look so weird. When they showed them initially, and they showed, like, the beers, and they showed the people, like, you know, looking at it, like, it was like a mega close-up, Sasha. Like, it was...
Yeah, oh my God. Mega close up to Enzo's tongue. That's right? What close up was. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Melissa, you brought up the shrink ray and the reactions to it. The house guests got a chance to really show off their acting chops where the shrink ray was fired by Nicole Franzel.
All right, let's start this bad boy up.
Whoa.
Where'd it go?
Cody.
Cody, oh my God.
He had like, he didn't have anything in his eyes. If you notice, he had nothing in his eyes. There was no emotion there. It was just, where'd they go?
Wow.
Wow. This is crazy.
Brent, did I see this correctly on Twitter this week? I saw some people, I thought, getting upset that they kept referring to Davon's veto as a tiny veto. And I saw some people seeming like they were getting upset of like, why do these house guests have to diminish Davon's win and call it a tiny veto? Did you see this?
I did.
I saw that too.
There was some outrage about this.
People on Twitter sometimes need to calm down. Like, just because they're calling it a tiny veto is not like necessarily condescending. Like, clearly, like it
How
was
could
a
these
tiny
house
little
guests,
veto.
This is the last straw that they're calling Davon's only win. It's her first win ever, and it's the biggest move of the season, and they're calling it a tiny veto.
Yeah. Exactly. I, you know, look, if there was something to rant about, I would rant about it. But I think there's nothing to see here, people. Like, they had the little veto up there.
The producers knew. Like, the producers knew that this was going to be Davon's veto, and they purposely gave her a teeny little veto.
I will say, it is a little annoying that, like, Davon wins her first veto in three years, and, like, they don't have that big, shiny, you know, gold medallion.
Look, this was 100 times more memorable. But people did not know it was a tiny veto. And we're mad that people referred to it as a tiny veto.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the people that don't watch the live feeds. Yeah, because Devon came in and she was holding it like this. Like, it was sort of hilarious. I was like, what is that? Is that a pin? What is that?
Until that moment, people were so angry. But I think as soon as that moment happened, we could like run with it and be funny about it, which I appreciated. And I think these BB streets needed it.
Yeah. Well, it's like turned into like it's like an earring or something. I feel like that you could do stuff with the tiny veto. All right. So congratulations, Davon. She has the veto. And now we are going to see now. All right. Everybody's like, no, they can't use the veto. That's it. She's gotta keep it the same. And we've got to figure out who should go up on the block. Christmas is really set off this whole episode, Sasha, that Christmas, what a cool, calm, collected customer she is. It's all so easy and logical for Christmas about what Danny needs to do.
Yeah, stay loyal. Why would you cannibalize yourself? Why would you cannibalize yourself? Stay loyal, the committee. That's it. It's like a robot. And she's just saying the same things. Cannibalize committee. And it's like, give it up.
I know. Like, and I hear you. I'm with you. Okay. But you have to consider that a lot of these players made it to the end of the game playing exactly the way that they're describing. Cody Calafiore, Christmas, they both were in the inside of their alliances, and they tried to keep things as, you know, comfortable as possible, taking out the outside of the onion, until they got to the middle. And that's how they got to the end. You know, if you look at it from Christmas's standpoint, you know, she was like one comp away from winning Big Brother 19. If you look at it from Cody's standpoint, you know, mm-hmm. he took Derek to the end and got beat. But like both of them feel like they played the game the right way the first time. So like, of course, they're not going to want to play the kind of game that we want, Sasha. I mean, I hear you on that. Believe me, I'm with you. And I want them to play a little bit more out in the open. But they like to play this, you know, like, hey, we're all on the same side. And I'm sorry, you're just left out, even though you happen to be all the people of color. But like, that's so big. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but that's the thing, right? Like, to me, I hear you, Brenton, and I agree, right? Like, I think that's why I was a little apprehensive that Christmas was even on this cast.
Yeah, totally.
Because I was like, BB19, here we go. Like, I hate it. And I want them to understand there's six of you. And if all six of you think that, hey, we're just all going to coast and then we'll get to final two, six is not going to get to final two, right? So how are you at least padding yourself up? Which goes back to Dani, right? And how she was in a good spot before this, like flipping back to getting Ian out, but or whatever. But I think that she, like, these people need to have some give in their game if they're going to actually get to final two and win. So that's why I think I'm a little frustrated, because it's the committee isn't making it to final two, all of you at least.
Yeah.
I think it's something to think about too. Like, if you're Christmas and Dani is sitting there like, I don't know, like, I'm going to put up whatever, and thinking and having to think about what to do, I think that you should start thinking, okay, why is Dani thinking that way? Like, are there other people in the house that she is working with that are outside of this alliance? That's why she doesn't want to put anyone else up. Like, cause from Christmas's perspective, there are so many outside people like that we can still put up. Like, it's, we don't have to turn inward yet. But for Dani's perspective, she's like, yeah, I'm kind of working with everyone, so I don't really want to put up any of those people. There are people in the committee that I'm not so sure on. I might as well put one of them up. And so Christmas should be thinking like, hey, this is like a red flag here that Dani is looking all around and everyone's like on an equal playing field as to who can be put up. But she's not really thinking that way. She's just like, well, Dani's stupid. Like, why would Dani do that?
I will say too, also keep in mind that Christmas does also have a power that can only work as insofar as blocking a replacement nominee. So I know that Christmas was wanting to make sure that her butt didn't end up on the block. So, you know, she wanted to make sure that she could keep that power for one more week so she can do what she wants with it next week, which will be the final week that it can be used. So she got her way this week, and it looks like that both the nominees have a fighting chance.
All right. Cody is talking with Tyler. Says, no shot. There's no chance Davon is going to use the veto. No way. She can't use it. Impossible. No, it's not going to happen. He goes and talks to Dani. Says Day is going to use the veto. He's beside himself. Can't believe it that he is, that there the veto is going to be used. Yeah.
Like, guys, this is a product of his season. Like, his season went like storybook ending. Like, it went exactly the way it needed to go. Like, that's why I remember when like Donnie almost won that HOH competition once the Battle of the Block ended in 16. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like so bummed because that was the first time that Cody Califari would not have been able to play from the front. He would have had to play from the back, okay? Which is a much harder place to play from. But, like, he's so used to getting his way so that when somebody says, no, I'm going to do what I want for my game, like, he doesn't even know how to respond to that. He's
exactly.
Like, what? Chrissy, check the rule book. Is this a part of the script? Like, I don't think this is allowed for them to play their own game. So, yeah, that's why he's so incredulous.
So they're talking about Ian going on the block and Sasha, that Dani wants to know, Cody, would you vote out Tyler? Maybe we should vote out Tyler. It's like, no, we're not voting out Tyler. No.
This is exactly it's a joke, right? This is where I need Dani and Nicole to wake up, like, you know, knock them in the head like this, like, hello, because I need them to understand, look at what everyone's doing. Just like Melissa was saying for Christmas, I need that for actually every single one of them. Zero self-awareness, right? Nicole is literally crying that Ian is on the block, but how is that not like immediately raising light bulbs for people to be like, oh, that's her untouchable Christmas. But honestly, right? Like, to me, Cody needs to also understand that he is, the entitlement maybe is blocking all of it, but I need like Cody to understand that, like, oh, right, they're not all for me. Oh, I don't think it'll happen.
Good luck with that one, Sasha. That ain't going to happen. Cody thinks that everybody's playing for Cody Califiore, and everyone's just trying to push him to get him up to that $500,000 that he's owed from BB16 in his mind.
I think also, like, Danny shouldn't be asking Cody to get rid of Tyler. Like, if they're going to make a move against someone, like, in their alliance, like, that needs to be, like, a strategic, like, under the table sort of move. Like, it needs to be like, okay, Devon, Kevin, David, like, let's work together and get Tyler out. Like, if you're going to take a shot at your own alliance, you shouldn't be relying on your alliance to take that shot. It should be, okay, now I'm going to turn on my alliance. I'm going to get everyone from the outside to join me and we're going to take this shot. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, so, she wants it to be both ways. Like, she wants to still be in the alliance and be like, okay, but the alliance is doing this. It's not me. Like, I want this person out for my own benefit because he went against me, but I want the alliance to back me up and it to be like a whole like group thing. But really, like, if she's going to take the shot, it has to be on her own as a shot against the alliance. And I think she's not getting that.
No, she's not getting that because she overlearned the lessons from BB13. She's trying to play it safe. Yeah. And instead, she's just making what ends up being a really terrible move for herself and a good move for other people. People like Cody Calafiore are like, this week went great. We got Ian's up on the block next to Tyler. We might have a chance to save our boy. I mean, it's basically like Cody's HOH. Mm-hmm. I will say that Danny would be at points, you know, toyed with the idea of putting Enzo up on the block. But I think two things happened. One, Cody really pushed like, hey, Christmas in Memphis are going to be mad. You know, like if you try to get out Tyler, you know, we really need to, you know, try to put up somebody else. And number two, even though Enzo's not in the committee, like he's like almost like an honorary seventh member. Plus he was in the Slick Six, which most of them were a part of. Two, Nicole Franzel, I'm not going to like her on the stock watch tomorrow. Really dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. Like she could have saved Ian here. If he goes home on Thursday night, it is because Nicole Franzel did not push hard enough and far enough for Danny to not nominate him.
It doesn't make any sense.
All she had to do was say no.
Yes.
No, don't.
She didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything. She was like bummed about, like, oh, I know this sucks.
She's like, I'm just going to be sad about it. And Danny's like, yeah, well, I'll be sad. But Nicole's like, and she's like, well, I mean, but
it's
like,
she needed
to say, like, no, like, this is for our game. You literally just said that Ian is with us. Like, why should we get Ian out? It doesn't make any sense. It only benefits like Cody and Tyler and all them. Like, if you want to get Tyler out, I will back you up, but we need to put someone else up on the block. Do not put my ally.
Melissa, can we at least acknowledge the fact that I feel like Danny and Cody have this weird chemistry, like where she's
oh
like,
boy.
I mean, look, I'm just like, they're both married and whatever. I'm just saying,
Cody's not married.
Cody's not married.
Oh, sorry. He's got a girlfriend. Yeah. They're both taken is what I meant. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that she does what he says. It's sort of gross. I don't like it.
Yeah. Nicole and her, they go to Cody. What do you think?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, Sasha. I see people in chat like, oh, Brent's going there. Come on, like, we all see it. If you're watching the feeds, you see what they're like when they're in a room together and they're talking strategy. Like, the way they look at each other, there's something there. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. But we still respect, you know, like,
respect it.
Yes. But I do
flirty.
Think.
Yes.
But maybe I think that's Cody's personality, if I'm being honest, which we've known, unfortunately, from 16. But I think it's beyond that. I really believe that it is this whole idea of like, well, what does the committee want? And then what does Cody want, right? Like, it's a weird hierarchy where it's like the men really get to dictate this and take up more space than the women do, even when the women actually are the ones like doing the work in this moment.
Like, who won HOH? A woman. Who won Vito? A woman. How many women are left in the house? Four. Like, the.
I think that this move of putting Ian on the block is really bad for Danny, but I think it's way worse for Nicole. Ian will do anything for Nicole. Ian is like so invested in their like final two. And you know, even if Ian is sitting there like, I'm not really working with Nicole or whatever he wants to say, with like the fact that she's also a winner, like he'll want to keep her around. So there would be no reason for him to turn on her anytime soon. It makes absolutely no sense. And I think the thing is like, well, people could argue, well, Nicole's not HOH. She can't do it. It's like, no. Danny is your ally. Like Danny is Nicole's like number one ally, essentially, well, besides Cody. And it's like, she should be telling Danny, don't put Ian on the block. This is not the time. This is not the move. And she's not saying anything. She's just trying to find some way to give Ian a pity vote.
Yeah.
Look good.
Here's
to Ian.
My question with Nicole and Ian. Is she really, is she really upset that Ian is going home.
She should be.
And because that we know that if Nicole doesn't want something to happen, she finds ways of making things not happen that she doesn't like.
That's why I'm not set on saying that Ian is going home this week.
Okay.
Like, yes. I just feel like we can't say that. Yeah.
Well, no, we can't say that. Go ahead.
Brent, who do you think had the better fake tears tonight, David or Nicole Franzel?
Oh, wow. I think David's were better because they were so, like, on command. It was like magic watching him. I'll give him that. Like, they even had little magic sound. Like,
plus, they both come at the same time.
Yes.
Like, which is so unnatural, but it's just like...
Yeah.
Sorry, I wouldn't hear it. But, like, yeah, that was awesome. I love how they edited that. It was really fun. And it was probably one of the brighter spots of this episode, aside from the fact that Davon won the veto, which I also do want to talk more about her, because they really yada yada the whole, yeah, like, Davon, will she or won't she? And I feel like that we missed some of the...
All right, well, go talk about it.
I'll say this. I love Davon. I don't even know myself if I could have used the veto in those circumstances. She had people tag teaming her left, right, and center to tell her not to use the veto. You can't use the veto. It'll be terrible if you use the veto. You'll be the target if you use the veto. Everyone coming to her and telling her that. Pushing. I do feel like that the more they pushed, the more she was like dead set on using it. But still, that is really tough. She knew that if she used the veto, there was maybe two people in there who were happy that she used the veto, Kevin and David, and that was it. Everyone else was pissed. And so, like, I really feel like that she deserves way bigger credit than maybe this episode gave her credit for, because, like, I don't, again, the amount of pressure that she was feeling in that moment was absolutely astronomical, Sasha. Like, the bullshit reasons and the gaslighting that went on to Davon's face, both, you know, emotionally and game, was almost beyond the pale, in my opinion. And I was really glad in the end that she was able to use the veto.
In, like, most recent seasons, we would have seen the person cave to the pressure and not use the veto. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, this is, like, an anomaly. This is shows how strong she is. Like, I mean, this is, like, miraculous, essentially. Like, I mean, any other season, if the majority alliance asks the person on the outside, don't use this, like, we promise, like, we'll do whatever you want, blah, 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 they would be like, oh, okay, I want to be part of the cool guys. Like, I want to be part of the in crowd. And they just, like, do whatever
Cliff,
they say.
Don't use your power.
Exactly. Yeah, and Kevin, right? I don't know if Kevin would have done it for Davon because of exactly what you said, Melissa, that same pressure, because he wants so bad to be part of this, like, group, right? Whatever the group is. And that, I agree. And to Brent, your point, right? You talked about this. They had rehearsed scripts. And then, and on top of that, I made this note when I was, when we were watching the live feeds, was that they are so mad at Davon for using it. And this is what drove me crazy. Danny was trying to explain to the allies, her team, saying, hey, actually, Davon's not wrong in using it. Like, we are going for Kevin. And I mean, the frustration, like, no, but she doesn't know that. With the information that she knows, why is she putting, why is she using the veto? Because what we're telling her is that Kevin is safe. So that's also causing me personally a lot of frustration with these players.
Why isn't she trusting us untrustworthy people?
Yes, that's basically what we're lying to your face.
Like, we're lying to her face. Why doesn't she trust us? That shows that we can't trust her anymore.
And they were getting upset about it.
Yeah,
like,
so, like, frustrated.
Don't get upset. Like, you, and I feel like they would all at random times be like, well, but we are, like, lying to her. And then they'd be like, but it's
not
crazy that
she.
Well, then they turn around and be like, but it's crazy that she won't trust us. Like, we obviously need to go.
Why won't they take, like, our counterfeit money?
Right? Exactly,
it looks great.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Sasha, I will say Davon clocked the fact that Kevin last week, if he said if he won the veto, he could not guarantee that he would use it on either Davon or Bailey. So she clocked that to him. She did. Again, like I said, she did not let Kevin know that she was going to use the veto tonight. And I think that, like, I know there was a little part of her that definitely wanted to, like, screw with him, because I don't, you know what? I agree with you. I don't think that he would have used the veto. If the situation were reversed and Davon was on the block and Kevin won the veto, I don't think he would have used it. I think he would have folded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would have said, I'll work so hard to keep you, Day. Like, don't be stressed. Like, I, with his bad, you know, his awful reads, not bad, like whatever is worse than that.
Mostly, yeah.
Reads. Yeah, he would have been like, you're fine. You're staying.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But I feel like, Melissa, this is the kind of stuff we were talking about with the old school Big Brother versus new school Big Brother. It's like, yeah, there would be no doubt that this person is my friend and I'm going to take them off the block because I won the veto.
And no one would be angry about it. Like, mm-hmm. they'd be like, oh, darn it. Like, I wish we had won the veto, like, but good yep. move. Yep. Now it's like, wait, how? Like, we're telling her, we're the majority alliance, and we're telling her not to use it. Like, why would she use it? Like, it's just like incredulous. Yeah, it's like, we told her not to, so like, she shouldn't do it. But it's like, don't you see, like, there are people playing the game that aren't just playing for you. Like, they're playing for themselves, or at least that's the way they should be playing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it really is the like dichotomy of old Big Brother versus new Big Brother and the different ways of playing.
Yeah,
that's what we need the wall yeller to say. You're not the only ones playing the game.
Remind
They'll
them.
Be like, wait, there's other house guests somewhere.
What?
Yes.
No hidden house guests.
Okay. So I want to get into a little bit for people who have not followed the live feeds closely about there was a plan to the only thing we could do is get Davon not to use the veto. We need to come up with an elaborate ruse to trick Davon at the veto meeting. Sasha, did you have the bullet points on this?
Yeah. So they just decided that they want to, okay, here's what we're going to do, y'all. We just have to make sure that first, Danny wanted to ask production if this was possible. I want to also make that note for everyone wondering. And then they wanted to take the two nominees out and send them to another room, whatever. And then Danny was going to say, can everyone that wants to vote Tyler, please raise your hand.
Vote Tyler out.
Out. Sorry. Yeah,
because they're trying to make a ruse that they're all going to vote Tyler out.
So the two nominees now have left. They leave the room.
Allegedly. Right.
Yes.
In their plan. This didn't actually happen, but this is what they wanted to happen.
Yeah. And they said, who wants to vote? And then, you know, all these people are going to raise their hands and Davon's going to be like, Kevin's good, y'all. Like, I don't need it. I don't need to use it. And it's fine. We'll keep nominations the same. And like, and really wanting to play with Davon and insult her intelligence. And again, I have so many questions. Like, why are they so selfish? And then two, like, why is this funny why is this fun or part of their strategy to just be like gross people, right? Like, if you're going to do it. Just like old school Big Brother. Davon will be like, oh, I got outplayed. Got it. She's not going to sit there and be like, they lied to me. But if you're going to do this whole drama, she will be more angry. And then you can't probably come back from that.
Yeah.
I love how Memphis was just like, no. this is bad. Like, this is a bad idea. And everyone was like, oh, okay. Like, I felt like everyone was excited about it. And then Memphis was like, do you really think this is a good idea? And they were like, no, maybe not.
Yeah, just to fill in some of the details. So Davon and Danny had a conversation late at night, the night before the veto ceremony. Davon heavily hinted to Danny she was going to use the veto. Danny then woke everybody up in her alliance, except for Tyler, talked about the fact that the veto is going to be used most likely. What are they going to do? They had to come up with a plan. This is their plan. Again, they're working in the universe where Tyler is going to go home and they need to put up a quote unquote pawn on the block. And then I think like Grandpa and Memphis left the room and some other people, like, they eventually came up with a plan like Sasha talked about, to basically gaslight people into thinking, okay, this is what's really happening. They wanted to change the format of the veto ceremony, which is why fans got pissed, because never before in a veto ceremony have the nominees been asked to leave the room. So then they said no. So now the nominees have to stay in the room. So now if they want to do this, they have to do it with Tyler and Kevin in the room and basically say to Tyler's face, pretend like they're going to vote each other out. Now, look, I disagree with Sasha a little bit. I don't have a problem with the fact that they wanted to try this from a strategic level. If it works, you can make sure the veto isn't used and, you know, move along on your merry way and vote Kevin out. But you're going to have to deal with the consequences. I think optically, Memphis realized crazily, because he's the one who maybe has the least awareness whatsoever. Maybe he wanted to not do it for a different reason. He didn't want to do it because he thought it was stupid. I think Danny had said previously that she didn't want to make Davon look like a fool.
Yeah.
She actually cares about Davon, although maybe, you know, we don't know so much now. I feel like overall, like, that whatever emotional intelligence that Davon used during that week to try to get through to Danny, like some way or another, it worked where they did not try this ghastly scheme on Devon. And, you know, again, even if they had done this, I think Devon would have been like, that's cute. I'm still using the veto on Kevin.
Yeah,
like,
that's
she's
what
not
I mean,
going to buy.
Exactly.
She knew something was
but also,
up.
Here's the thing is like the reason why this doesn't work for me is that like, okay, so they're saying like, look, keep it the same. We all agree that we're going to vote this person out. And it's not the person you're trying to save. It's the other person. And it's like, okay, so then
what does it matter?
The problem with me removing this person from the block? Like, you can just put anyone else up if you're really going to get this person out. Like, then why does it matter? And I think that that is the missing link where it's like, okay, yeah, but like, how does that affect me using the veto on this person? Like,
Devon said that to Danny in that 3-hour conversation that they had. Devon said exactly all the right things where she said, so what does it matter if you want to take Tyler out? I just need this one number for me. I only have this one. Yeah, so right. I agree.
Does and if everybody, and if like they're saying, like if everyone raises their hand, it's like, okay, well, okay, then we're fine because everyone's agreeing to vote out Tyler no matter what or whatever. Like that's the thing. So what, putting one other person up on the block, like that shouldn't affect it if we're all on the same page that we're going to get Tyler out. Like it's, I'm so glad Devon like was like,
yeah,
this doesn't
yeah,
make
and Melissa,
sense.
She was even better than that because let's be clear, Sasha, in that meeting that she had with Danny the night before the veto ceremony, she clocked exactly what was going on. She knew exactly there's a big alliance, which you saw in the episode, but what you didn't see was the fact that Devon said, you know, Danny, I don't know. Like, it seems really weird that, you know, I go up on the block. Me and Bailey go up on the block. No one cares. We're expendable. Kevin goes up on the block. No one cares. David goes up on the block. No one cares. But oh my God, Cody Calafiore goes up on the block. Nicole Franzel goes up on the block. Enzo goes up on the block. Like, I mean, what is, do you see, like, look at the people you're describing and tell me that I don't see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny was like, humming. Like, she had no words for that. So I think Devon knew exactly what was going on here. And even if the house guests who are in control don't know what's going on, Devon knew what was going on.
Exactly. And I want to give Day all the credit because, you know, when you're in an argument with someone and sometimes you like an hour later, you're like, oh, I should have said that. That is not Devon. She is exactly the person you want when you're, you know, on your side in an argument because she laid everything out. Every time Danny was coming up with some ridiculous
so proud of her. Yeah.
Excuse, I think like exactly what we would say on Twitter, right? For someone that has been watching all the game and the live feeds, we'd say, oh, blah, blah, blah. This is what you should say. And Day was saying it. And it's just, this is exactly why she deserves all the props for this episode that I don't think she necessarily got in the edit, at least.
Yeah, okay. She didn't get any of that in the edit.
Ultimately, Devon will use her tiny veto and she will take Kevin.
How dare you, Rob?
Off the block.
How dare you?
Yes. And Ian will be the replacement nominee. Again, Nicole is very sad. Yeah, she's very
she's
sad.
So sad. Very sad.
But Ian has to go up on the block and Ian's not sad. Ian is enraged.
I'm just enraged. Like, how stupid can she be?
What happened there? What happened?
What did Ian, he kick over?
Did
There's
Ian
a little table.
He knocked over furniture in the diary room?
Yeah. Like, look, I saw this Ian BB14. That little boy has a temper on him. He's got a bigger temper than I do. He really, like, when things don't go his way, he is pissed. I remember how hard he went at Frank when Brittany got backdoored and how angry he was with Frank walking around the goddamn carriage.
Ian is enraged.
I'm just enraged. Really, like, how stupid can he be?
I like the sound effects too, like at least the noise of the table being knocked over. It's just like
exactly.
Yeah. It's fun when Ian gets like, I love it when Ian's like that. It's like the best kind of Ian.
He finally has a pulse. We love it. Like, finally.
Which, I mean, it may be too late, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. We'll take some questions and then we'll talk about where we stand with this vote. Any thoughts on Ian's point to this game? Brent, I don't want to steal your thunder for the stock watch, but I saw that you were very critical of Ian's game to this point.
Yeah. So what Rob's referring to is, Taryn was talking about how he's bummed that Ian's up on the block. And, you know, he might if he goes out here, you know, he really hasn't had a chance to play yet. And of course, I'm paraphrasing what Taryn said, so don't come for me. But I responded a little catty. Taryn, to his credit, responded a little catty back. But it's cool. Like
you'd say basically if he loses, that he deserves to lose for playing the game he's played. And
yeah, for playing like crap.
And Taryn didn't realize it was you. He thought it was a troll on his
Twitter
account.
Troll. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I thought you were a troll before I looked at the username. Now I know you're a troll. Which I love that comment. That was great. And I hearted it. So here's what I'm talking about. I feel like that Ian has played very sleepily this season. He has not really tried to insulate himself. Obviously, he had the core four.
Prime.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's like it's such a fake alliance. I don't even remember it. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like once he got that little taste of, okay, we're together, and they never even really like hooked up, met, like talked about the alliance much after that, maybe a little bit, but not a lot. Like, he just went to sleep. He's like, oh, I'm good now. I got Nicole. Like, it's really infuriating because, like, honestly, you know, you guys know, I'd rather Tyler go home this week, but Ian is the one who I think is more likely to come after Davon because he's just being incredulous right now. He doesn't know where to aim his fire because he hasn't been playing well. Ian, like, we talk about Davon and Kevin's reads. Ian's reads, equally bad. The only read that Ian got right this season is the one that the wall yeller yelled over to him and he went in to tell the house. That is it. Because other than that, he couldn't read a phone book. He doesn't know exactly where the power is. He doesn't know who's in control. And that's why I'm happy in some ways to see him go home. Like, I didn't want him to go home, but here's the thing. You got to play the Big Brother game that's in front of you, not the game that you want to play. And that's the thing that happened to Kacer when he was evicted. And Ian needs to mold the game that he wants to play. And I just feel like he was so willing to play other people's form of Big Brother, which is not the Big Brother that he won with. It's not the girl that brought him to the dance. And that's why I have a problem with the way he's played this season.
I thought you were going to say that Ian hasn't had a good read since Dirk Space Jammer.
Yeah, right? Ian hasn't had a good read since he didn't realize he was the pawn in the double eviction in BB14, and he thought he was totally safe, and then won the veto anyway, and obviously he was the target. So, yeah, Ian's not good at reading; he's good at playing, but not reading.
I just don't understand how he could go from like really like clocking the whole house and like everyone being like, "Oh my god, Ian's got it," to like this. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me because I thought that like, okay, so he had his read on the house, then he didn't get power, and I felt like he kind of just was like groveling at Nicole's feet, mm-hmm. being like, "I'm so sorry," because he basically got found out and was just like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, like take me back, like it was all just a lie, like I didn't believe any of it, like blah blah blah." But and I thought that was just an act, like I thought he was just pretending so that way they like would take him back into their arms until he could get power again. But it just seems to me that like, that's not the case. He actually is like, oh, I guess I was wrong about the whole read. And now he's just like doing Nicole's bidding again, or just like kind of thinking he's safe for no reason. Like, now I think he thinks he might be on the way out because they called him a super pawn or whatever, which he is not a super pawn.
Ultimate pawn.
The ultimate pawn. Like, he is not that at all.
That's got to be a big tell, right?
Yeah, he knows that. He knows like, okay, wait, but like I don't have relationships with everyone in the house. Like, someone who has relationships with everyone in the house would be the ultimate pawn, not me. Mm-hmm. So I think really honestly, I think the only way that Ian stays this week is if Nicole makes it happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that anything that Ian does is going to make it happen besides possibly convincing Davon and David and Kevin to vote to keep him. And then Nicole either gives a sympathy vote or he convinces Nicole, like, please just like keep me around. I'll be your like number one ally, whatever. Then it's 4-4 and maybe Danny decides to keep him. Mm-hmm. But I think really honestly, I think we need Nicole here to be the one to get Ian to stay and campaign on his behalf. Otherwise,
I will say that the best thing going for Ian is that it's only Tuesday night. He's got 48 hours. Yeah. Normally this would be Wednesday night. We're like, it's tomorrow. A lot can change in 24 hours, but a whole lot can change in 48 hours.
And look, it does seem like Nicole usually gets what she wants. So I think if she wants Ian to stay, I think he'll stay.
She has at every point this season. Yeah. So let's see it happen again, girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if she can make this happen, I'll be very impressed, because I'm not super impressed right now. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to give her as great of a score in the stock.
Insider trading, everybody.
But here's the thing is that I'm not going to give her a good score because I think this was a really bad move on her part. Mm-hmm. She should have convinced Danny to not put up Ian. This is very bad for her. There's no benefit to this, to Nicole on this. So I think the only way she'll go up again is if she can convince everyone to get to keep Ian.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, no matter who goes out on Thursday night, we will have exit press this week, but it will be a little bit different than what we've done with the pre-jury members. We will be sending in our questions, and then we will
get
video of the contestants answering jury our questions. So in the past, we've just gotten it in text. Believe we will get video of people answering our questions.
The key is if Julie talks about the committee in the exit interview, they'll be going home. But if she doesn't talk about the committee, we have a jury buyback.
Okay. It's very possible. All right. Let's take some questions from our listeners. Katie says, by a show of hands, how many of the panelists would turn down over 50K to go hang out with Angela instead? Well, what kind of question is this? Instead of what? Do the podcast?
Shady.
Does somebody have to leave the room before we answer this question?
I'll leave.
So what are you getting at, Katie?
What Katie is referring to is the fact that both of the nominees this week have said that if they are evicted, that they're not going to go to jury, that they're going to leave. And so Tyler specifically was the first one, obviously, to talk about this. When he got put up, he was talking about how he thought he was going to be going home if he didn't win the veto, and he wasn't going to stay in jury. He just wanted to let everybody know that.
So let me get this straight. Yes. If I stay where I am, I get 50K. If I go visit Angela, I lose it?
Correct.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably stay. Right?
I'd stay too.
What's wrong with Angela?
She's fine. She's fine, but I'd rather have the 50K.
She's fine. She got the FBI looking after
her. She's not my schmoopy. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is a question from Rad. Do you think that Kevin would use the veto on Day if the tables were turned? And what would he care? No.
No, ma'am.
No,
I don't think so.
Got no spine. Spineless.
No. Probably not. Probably not. Okay. Caleb says, was it unfair for the prize for Davon's first competition win after three seasons to be the tiniest veto necklace bracelet ever? You know,
I thought it was adorable.
Yeah. If it didn't work, that would be not fair. It's not the size of the veto. It's what you do with it. Right, Brent?
Yes, that's what I've heard. Yes. Look, also, no tea, but this was way more memorable. The thing about Big Brother, it's about moments. You know, we don't remember Davon because she was the second person evicted from Big Brother 17. Sorry, I just want to make sure I got it right. Big Brother 17, when she was evicted second on Big Brother 17, we don't remember that. It's the fact that when she came out the door, she did the whoo like that, you know, and then like walked over to Julie, and she was obviously amazing in the diary room and obviously got into a fight with a few of the house guests. Like, that's what we remember. Big Brother's about moments. So the fact that she got a tiny veto, who cares? It's all the more memorable, and people will remember this moment far more when they will some random golden power of veto that she would have got.
Let's not veto shame people, okay? Yes. Some people have tiny vetoes. God. Some people have regular size vetoes. Some people, Brent, have bigger vetoes. It's fine.
Yes.
All sizes matter, y'all. Period.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's take another question. Proud Min says, we are halfway through Big Brother 22 and the big alliance has remained intact. Will the season get more entertaining when the alliance members are left, or is there already a pecking order? Okay. All right. We've gotten to this point and we've said, okay, well, the big alliance is going to start attacking each other. Melissa, but do we already know how the big alliance is going to go out? Do we already know that order?
I think there is the chance that, I mean, it really depends on who wins the competitions at that point. So it really could go any way. I think like if they have their way, it will go a certain way. Mm-hmm. But I think that you can never really predict it with the competition wins. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I can answer this more in the spoiler section. But I feel like that some people have in their mind about what they want to have happen. And some of the ramifications of this week are going to impact what happens in the following week. So, probably a question we can answer a little bit more in depth later. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a. Do we have another question, or are we ready to go to spoilers? I guess we're ready to go to. Okay, Anna says, so the POV comp storyline apparently involved the mad scientist making contestants giant in order to stack beer. Please explain how any of those things are connected. We have Brett. Okay, tell me the story.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, maybe that's right. Because they did zap them. Yeah. They zapped them with the, but maybe they transported them to like a tiny universe or something.
That's what I was going to say.
That it's a teleporter, right?
Yeah, it's like aliens visiting, right? And this area that we're visiting, that we just happen to be like the big people in that area is what happened.
Okay.
All right. It's too complicated.
It was cute. That's all you need to know.
Vetoes.
Did y'all hear Nicole
Nick
talk
Macaroni?
About? Oh my god, Nicole talk about the drinking game. She said you can make a drinking game to every time a tiny beer falls down, you should take a sip. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah, right. Okay. That was I do agree with Melissa. I really like that competition. I know part of it's the fact that it's COVID
and different.
Yeah, it's smaller, but that was very fun and give everybody a chance to win. Like, Devon's not going to win a running competition against Tyler going to pick up blocks or, OTEV or whatever, but she can win something like this.
That's the thing is, I think, at least in my opinion, I think Big Brother competition should not be about physical ability. I think that's like a Survivor thing. I don't think that's a Big Brother thing. A Big Brother thing, and that's like one of the reasons why I had always wanted to be on Big Brother instead of Survivor was like, number one, you're not in the like wilderness and you're in a house and you have food and bathroom and everything. And number two, it's like maybe I could have a chance at these competitions because it's not about your physique. It's just about like it's random sometimes. And it just like whoever's good at stacking teeny beers with a like big giant set of tweezers. Like that's the kind of thing that I think there should be more of. And like same with like even when it's like an endurance competition, in my mind, it should be an endurance competition of like who was willing to stay out there the longest because they want it, not because they can necessarily hang on a wall for the longest. Like I think
you want
that, like,
the pressure cooker. Yes.
I've said it over and over and I will literally like raise this point to the ground. They need to bring back the pressure cooker. That is like one of the like
maybe
best
if somebody
in Big Brother history
could maybe do some sort of a video to remind people of how great the pressure cooker was. Maybe there's somebody, the right person is out there that could reenact the pressure cooker.
I wonder who that might be.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. All right. Let's talk about our spoilers as we get ready for our vote. Two nights away, if you are going to be jumping out here, of course, the LC Roundtable is going to be back on a Wednesday night. But if you don't like spoilers, you probably don't like the LC Roundtable until after the eviction. But anyway, it's there, 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And then we'll be live after the eviction show at 9:15. PM. So hope you can join us there on Thursday night. But in the meantime, I'd like to quickly thank a sponsor before we get into the live feeds. Those are our friends over at rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. Rockauto.com offers the lowest prices possible. Such small prices, tiny veto prices. They keep them low rather than charging based on what the market will bear, like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Rob has a podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's get to the live feed spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning means that an actual spoiler against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Ian, it's not looking good.
Everybody's lying to you.
Oh,
is that your new buzzer? Yes.
The wall yeller is revealed.
Yes.
We knew it.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Right. So, there's no other way to say it. Look, you guys, it's not looking good for Ian. It's really not. They're trying to hoodwink him.
This is enraging.
I'm just enraged. Like, how stupid can he be?
So the funny part is that Ian doesn't watch Big Brother anymore. You guys remember that Ian used to be a part of the Thursday night.
Well, he's really not going to like it now.
I know, right? But his mom does.
Okay.
And his mom told Ian that Tyler is one of the best Big Brother players ever to play the game. And so Ian has brought that with him into the house. And he's telling people, like, hey, if you guys are actually dumb enough to evict me, my mom watches this show religiously. And she tells me that Tyler, and he's not wrong about this, is one of the best players to ever play Big Brother, especially when he like is actually trying to play the game. Yeah exactly. So if you evict me, like 4 weeks from now, Tyler's going to be in the final two chairs, and you all are going to look back at this and shake your head while you're sitting in jury with me. So, but I do not believe that has manifested, because what's happening right now is there, Taryn pointed out, there are basically three groups in the house. There's a big alliance, but there's basically two groups within that. And then obviously the Davon, Kevin, David group. And the crazy part is that all three groups currently right now, last time I looked, plan on evicting Ian. David, who, again, his reads are so terrible, believes that Ian is a part of the in crowd and that Ian is helping them win. And Ian is a little mole that is talking with the other side and pretending like he's not in with the cool kids, and that Ian can actually win competitions. Keep in mind, he actually hasn't won anything, and that he's a strategist and that they need to get rid of him. They think, oh, well, Tyler's only a comp beast. And I'm like, what do you mean only a comp beast? He's also a great strategist as well. Like, just because Ian's a little bit more nerdy doesn't mean that he's a better strategist than Tyler.
Ian's kind of perpetuating that, because he's basically he thinks he is part of like a core group. So I think he's like he's basically not going to tell anyone, like, no, I'm on the outs. I have nobody. Like, please, like, keep me around.
He doesn't know that.
What he needs to be saying, but like, he doesn't know that he's on the out, so he's just acting as if he's like part of the group. If I'm on the outs and that he's not coming to you, I would think that he is part of the group. Like, I would absolutely be convinced that he's part of the group. So he's really not doing himself any favors, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sasha, what does Tyler have to do to get people to vote him out of this house?
Whatever he's doing right now, I think.
Like,
he
campaigned for himself to get voted out last week.
Yeah.
He sits up on the block this week. What is with these people? Like, we can't let go of Tyler. We need him.
Someone put that on Twitter, right? Like, who is going to raise your hand to evict Tyler? And Tyler's going to be the first one to raise his hand.
Tyler joked that if he was in the room, he would have raised his hand, right?
Exactly. And that's why I think this is so funny, because I think now Tyler is all of a sudden saying, well, now that I'm in jury, I don't want to go to the house, so now I'm going to play again. And you know, the like chutzpah, right? To like be able to do that, to say, well, I didn't want to play last week, but I want to play this week. So this week, I think he's doing really well, where he's where Day and David believe that they should keep him because he is, you know, like on the out, and he is going to go for Danny, which again, he also solidified that with Danny to say, let's like work with each other on the side, you know, like it's fine that you put me up. And he has Cody and Memphis and Enzo kind of like pulling, maybe not Enzo, I think Enzo's kind of going back and forth, but Cody and Memphis for sure, that are like, you know, Tyler, like, he's our guy. He wins competitions. I think that's his biggest strategy, is that I win competitions, I got you.
Yeah, and it's also a massive shield in front of them. That's the thing. I think that Cody would particularly feel naked if Tyler wasn't there anymore, even though he's used to that sometimes. But overall, I feel like
he's used to being naked?
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, like
his
brother.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I forget. one brother, you've seen them all, so don't come for me. Like, but he does, like, he's still got a good body.
How's his veto?
His veto's pretty good, okay. As I recall. Yeah. I saw the pictures on BB16.
All right, stay on target.
All right, yes. So look, overall, I feel like Ian's in trouble and he needs help. But the problem is, he doesn't know that he needs help. I feel like he's slowly discovering this. But by the time he figures it out, it might be too late. I agree with Melissa that Nicole is the person who must do something. Mm-hmm. But in order for Nicole to do this, she actually has to want to do it. And she's been slapped down by Cody and Danny to say, you know, look, don't try to keep Ian here. You got to evict Tyler because that'll upset Memphis and Christmas again. Who cares about them? Who cares? Like Nicole actually has relationships with people like Davon. She doesn't have much of a relationship with somebody like Memphis, for God's sake. But like they're going to get their way this week, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to point out, that the ramifications of this week, that I think going into this week, and even in the middle part of the week, that Tyler would have gone after Danny if he stayed in the house. I no longer believe that. I think if Tyler wins HOH on Thursday, he will go right back after Kevin and Davon and put them up on the block, and it will not be fun. So I think no matter which way you slice it, whoever stays this week...
Why do you feel like that Tyler's targets are Davon and Kevin?
Because by putting up Ian on the block, they feel like that has weakened Danny's side, which Danny weakened her own little group of people. Ian was part of her group with Nicole. She has effectively weakened her side. I feel like that the people who were previously looking at Danny, like Enzo and Tyler, are concerned now that the Day David Kevin group is more powerful than Danny's group. And since they just lost the number in Ian, you know, assuming this timeline goes through, mm-hmm. they are more threatened by that because they know that all three of those people, or at least two of the three, maybe not David in their eyes, but definitely Kevin and Davon, would put two of them up on the block if they won HOH. So I just want to rant for like 30 more seconds, because the thing that pisses me off about going into this week is that the people of color were not working together. Okay. Did y'all hear that? They were not working together. Davon hated David. She wanted him out of the house. She wanted to get rid of him. But because of the play of the other players in the house, like Memphis, Christmas, Cody, they have pushed the people of color to come together. So now, yes, Day is working with David and trusts him more. Now she is working with Kevin and trusts him more. But it wasn't that way going into this week. And if people come out of this saying, oh, look, people of color are all working together, it's not because they wanted to. It's because you guys pushed them together and made it happen. All right, I'm done. It just pissed me off because, Rob, you know, these trolls on Twitter say that. They say it in the chat. Like, oh, you know, like, Devon's just going to protect David and Kevin, and we know why. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't have done that 4 days ago. She won HOH 4 days ago. She would have put up David and said, get rid of him. I can't stand the guy. Mm-hmm. But now she's like, he's probably all I have left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they voted out Bailey.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Melissa, is there anything that you think Ian can do, or do you think this only rests on Nicole Franzel?
I think Ian can do something to influence Nicole, and then Nicole can make some moves, or maybe he could talk to Danny and Nicole. I also think there's a possibility that he can talk to Day and Kevin and David and get them to keep him. I don't know if he would do that because he is going around saying that Davon is his target. I don't know if that's actually his target or if that's just something he's saying. Mm-hmm. But he is saying that. And I think that if he went to the three of them, went to Nicole, and then Nicole and Ian maybe, or just Nicole, went to Danny and said, like, look, we have to keep him, then he could stay. But I think that I don't think there's any way he goes to like Memphis or Cody or mm-hmm. anyone like that and convinces them, because there's no way. They've been wanting him out, especially Memphis. So that's not happening. Yeah. And Christmas, you think Christmas is going to vote out Tyler? No. You think Cody's going to vote out Tyler? No. So I think that it's a lost cause over there. I think the only people he can convince are the outsiders and Nicole. So
yeah, I think if it lies with Nicole and the three people on the outside looking in, and they have mm-hmm. to, like, but see, that's such a difficult road. We're wanting them to play the game that they do not want to play. Mm-hmm. Danny does not want to have to break a tie. She mm-hmm. does not want to do that. She does not want to play big moves, Danny.
Okay,
she
but let's just say it happens. Moves. Let's just talk it through. Is it a moot point? If Nicole flips, puts all that pressure on Danny, all right, Danny, stand up in front of the house, look towards Ian and Tyler, and cast your vote to evict. Is there a chance that Danny would evict Tyler in that spot?
I
I think there's a chance if Nicole can get to her before then. I think if it's a surprise tie, I think that she would just vote out Ian because she wouldn't want the alliance coming after her. But I think that it's the smarter move for her to vote out Tyler because, okay, well, you know, then she has Ian and Nicole's happy to her and she has, you know, whoever else who voted for Ian to stay happy to her. And then you've got, you know, like, the other people, I think she can make the case that look, I'm sorry I did this, but like I was put on the spot and I know that Tyler was coming after me last week. I wasn't convinced he wasn't coming after me this next week. I just had to make this move and I'm sorry or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that people wouldn't linger on that and be like, well, now number one target is Danny. I think that they still have other targets, number one. And number two, like even if they didn't have other targets, they were going to come after her anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it really changes her position. I think that maybe people think she's not as easily manipulated, but, like, I mean, okay, so what? I think it's a bad move.
Two things. Number one, I think Danny's going to play again on Thursday. She has that power. It's only available for one more week, and if she doesn't use it, she can't be HOH the next week, so I feel like she's going to use it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not she wants to win HOH is a different story. I feel like she actually might want to win HOH, and she's not happy with Davon right now. She's kind of mad that Davon, Danny's mad that Davon has never apologized to her. Again, how entitled are these fucking people? It really pisses me off. She is mad that Davon has not apologized to her for using the power that Davon won in the veto. So they're not feeling each other right now. And I mean, like on the outside, they're like, oh yeah, we're cool. But like, it's like, you know, they're not. And if one of them gets power, it's definitely curtains for somebody.
Sasha, what about outside of the vote? Anything interesting going on these days?
Danny's doing a lot of like studying up. I don't know if y'all saw that with the couches. Yeah, for comps, right? Production even got mad at her.
Studying the couches?
She's using the couch cushion as like a paper, and she's literally writing down days on it, which I thought was really interesting. That's why
she's like scratching it with a fingernail.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a suede couch, like a velvet couch.
You can make letters in it.
So Brent, that's why I thought she was going to play, because I think she's either just, you know, prepping for later on. But I thought that since she's doing all of this, like, are you going to play this game, play the next HOH, because she's going hard and studying so much.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be an important HOH. Like, for real, if Davon, Kevin or David does not win HOH, I feel like two of the three of them will be up on the block on Friday afternoon, and there's no power that can save them this time unless they introduce something. Hopefully, look, I have heard through the grapevine that perhaps, you know, like, again, they're out of competitions. They don't have anything. So maybe a fan vote. I have heard, pray tell of.
Hold on, Brent. Let's just, put a point on what you're trying to say here. Your sources are telling you.
No. This is no validity in.
This is a 10% Brent premonition.
No, this is like from an account or two that has been right about a few things that were off, but like is wrong about a lot of stuff. They have talked about the fact that CBS and Grodner want to perhaps do a fan vote for the next week.
Because they're out of competition ideas.
Yes. Yeah. Which they did during 21. They had that, what was it called? I forget, but they had a fan vote or something.
I could see them wanting to have a fan vote, but it seems weird that they're out of competitions.
Well, I mean, like, again, it's not my rumor. It's somebody else's rumor. I'm just like, I'm hoping that this person actually.
And it would be what? America's HOH?
Like, I would, I don't know what it would be, but. I'm not even sure if I trust America to get it right.
Yeah, not totally the cast.
Track record is spotty.
It's easier
if you go
you
on Facebook and look at the comments. You will not be happy.
Yeah, I'll say this: it's easier to get the people. Like, it's easier to get people to vote against people. It's very hard to get people to vote for somebody. Like, usually when they're voting for somebody, it's usually like some, you know, benign random person like Nicole or somebody. You know, so. I will say, though,
that I asked my mom before the podcast, like, and she's a casual viewer. She doesn't watch the live feeds. I asked her, like, what are your thoughts? Like, who are you rooting for? And she said, Day all the way. That's what she said. She said, She said, Cody and Enzo and Memphis need to get, like, they need to be knocked off their horses or whatever that she said. Like, she basically said that, like, they are getting everything handed to them. and she wants something to happen so that way someone on the outside wins something or does something. She hadn't watched the episode when Devon wins. They're actually watching it downstairs right now. and I'm hearing a lot of noise about them cheering and stuff. So, you know, all I'm saying is that I do think there are casual fans. I don't think that the Facebook casual fan is necessarily representative of the people who are casual fans and aren't commenting on Facebook, like my mom, who is rooting for Devon. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, look, if it happens, like, we'll be happy. But... hopefully, you know, okay. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even say stuff like that, but
I like when we get it on the record if it happens, then you could do a big victory lap. And if it doesn't happen, Brent, what happened?
Yes, exactly. If it doesn't happen,
it'll happen on the challenge.
Talking about. Yeah, exactly. That's okay. Hey, that happened with Amber. Called Amber on this season.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take some more questions. Is it just me, or would it be really stupid for Danny and Nicole to let Ian go and keep Tyler? Tyler's coming after Danny as soon as next week, and Ian was not putting either of them up.
It's not just you.
No.
It's not just you.
Yeah.
It would be stupid. Stupid.
It's dumb AF.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from Doom Tribe. How many microbrews will it take to get drunk? It's Melissa for the BB22 recap. Melissa,
small.
Yeah. What did you drink when you did your drunk history?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I drank too much. It was awful. The next day, I was...
What were you drinking?
Awful. I spent the night in the bathroom, just laying on the floor.
No.
But, yeah.
Was it hard kombucha?
No, unfortunately. I drank tequila, and then I had a little bit of wine, and I used the wine glass as, a prop. But, yeah, it was... It was a night, you know, looking back at it, it's a very funny video, and it's very funny to watch it. But at the time it was fun. Then that evening, not so fun. Next day, really not so fun.
Really not so fun.
Yeah. It was worth it.
Next time, Melissa, you need one of Brent's Gatorades to help
pick me up.
Yeah.
Hydrate me.
Be less hungover.
Yes, exactly. So the chat reminded me, before we take one more question, that Memphis apparently is waking up. Grandpa is trying to make a bit of an end game for himself and create a couple different groups.
Be careful when you wake up, Memphis.
I know, right? Ironically, I think he wants to name them the same name. I don't think he's named
them. That happened today, yeah.
He hasn't named them yet, but he wants to create two groups and take Christmas to the end. I would too. I don't think it's happened yet, though, so we'll keep an eye on that.
So that he has an end game and involves growing
the
end with Christmas?
And it's not the committee. Like he says,
I think it's with Enzo.
Yeah. Was it Enzo? Yeah, Enzo and Christmas and maybe Christmas and somebody else, or Enzo and somebody else.
Yeah, I think it's him and Enzo are the final two, and then they have a final three with two other people.
Enzo, but talk about somebody that's covered all the way around.
Yeah.
Enzo, there's no way he should win HOH on Thursday night unless, it actually gets literally handed to him. But
by America.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh my God, that could happen. I would really fear for him if he won HOH because he's got his hands in every cookie jar. But he's really playing well. I'm really impressed with Enzo.
Okay. All right, let's take another question. This is from Mackenzie. How long will the show carry on a narrative that Enzo is not any alliances and is on the outside of the power structure?
Speaking of the devil.
Do the editors watch the show? Yeah, we talked about this the other night of how do they square this circle of the committee? Like they started to trying to do the Mandela effect and start to squeeze him in the committee in montages, but they didn't do that tonight when they talked about the committee.
Yeah, I feel like they're just so set on the committee because it's the easiest narrative that they're just once it gets down to it and Enzo's doing really well, they're going to somehow have to do some sort of segment where there's a montage of him talking to each person being we're working together or whatever, and just somehow make it like that. But I mean, if Enzo makes it to the end, they're going to have a hard time trying to create a narrative that he's a good player, which he is a good player and he's doing a great job, but it's just so it's intricate and it's under the radar that there's just, it's really hard to put it on the show in a simplified way, especially because he's not really doing much of any big moves.
Yeah. It's more subtle.
Yeah. It's really subtle.
I will say If you are watching any football on CBS this weekend, Enzo did get a lot of FaceTime. Sasha, did you see any of this?
A little bit, not too much, though.
The commercial.
I was watching the Sooners, you know, okay. So college football.
The commercial for Big Brother, where it was like they had a card, and then it was just like Enzo in confessional talk about, okay, yo, so when you lie, you gotta lie to get out of the lie, so they don't know that you're lying, yo. And it's like CBS Big Brother, so were putting Enzo over on commercials.
This guy will appeal to sports fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But I think it's not because Enzo is a mastermind. It's that who's watching football and who's going to get them. Maybe we'll get 5 viewers to Big Brother and it's going to be
Enzo. You think they go for like Nicole or something? Like, I don't know, guys. Like, there's no way. There's mm-hmm. like absolutely no way that they're like, wait, right. What's this show? Freaking her in her cereal box or whatever, and she's just like, hey, guys, come watch
Big Brother. Yeah, I noticed they gave her like a 10-second segment tonight to get her
costume.
She
knows what she's doing. She's going to like, I'm free, and she jumps in the pool.
Right.
She's like, now they got to use it. Yeah.
Yep, she's playing the game. Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about something else. Something else to note is that for those of you who didn't listen to our previous coverage, the house guest got in trouble, depending on who you believe, like insofar as how much from the diary room, about making fun of Ian, because Ian has been honest about the fact that he's on the spectrum, he's autistic. Yep. And some house guests, Memphis and Christmas especially, Memphis and Danny had some things to say about him. And Nicole was definitely in the room and laughing about it when it was happening. I think they all got a little bit of a talking to from the diary room. Since that time, there was a point in time where Danny wouldn't even consider putting up Ian. Eventually, she came around to the fact that she's going to put up Ian because, frankly, it was the best thing for her game, at least so she thought at the time. And then now she's in a circumstance where she may ultimately lose him. But overall, like, I I've lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
We don't know.
Ian in the edit. And Ian, like, overall, Nicole is making a little bit of a mistake in terms of losing Ian, because you have to consider the thing that a lot of people don't talk about is the fact that there's only 2 winners in the house. And if he goes, she's down to 1. Mm. And I have to believe that's not going to put her in a good position. And like up until this week, I really liked Nicole's play. Mm-hmm. Really, like grudgingly, I was like, she's really good. She's really good. But I definitely think that she dropped the ball this week.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I could see a situation where like Cody wins HOH and he's like, or even like Memphis or Enzo, and it's like she doesn't really have that sort of sway with them, that it's like, well, you know, she's got to lose Ian at some point, and maybe this is the week. But this is Danny we're talking about. Like, Danny and Nicole are supposed to be like this, like working together. Like, she should be able to tell Danny, like, hey, don't do this. This is bad for us. Like, we need to keep Ian. And it just seems like she's kind of just like let him go too early.
Yeah, no, I remember what I was going to say. The fact that she's looking at the cameras basically saying, mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't want to vote Ian out. Are you looking at me? Like, even though like she knows she was, like, they're really putting pressure on her.
She was talking by herself in the backyard.
I'm so frustrated. I want to cry.
This was performance art.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. I'm not kidding. She knows she's by herself. She's guessing the camera's probably on her because she's causing a scene. So she wants everybody to see how much she loves Ian and how much she did not partake in any of the bullying and the smack talk that was happening the other night on the feeds. And also, but we all saw it, Nicole. Sorry.
The thing here is that like I could see a situation where it's like, she's really sad that she has to vote out her ally, like that, you know, whatever. But she's actively making sure that Ian doesn't have enough votes to make a tie, so that way she can be the one to give the sympathy vote. Mm-hmm. Like, that way she can give a completely safe sympathy vote, and
which
it won't
is so
matter.
Dumb, Melissa. Which it's so like, dumb.
Well, it's dumb, but also it's like it's actively acting against Ian, and like. That he'll know that happened.
Well, yeah, like, and I'm not just talking about that, though. It's the fact that when Ian goes to jury, like, let's assume her plan works, he's going to find out that she was the one who badmouthed him to Devon and whatnot, and that it was just a sympathy vote, and that he never had a chance to stay in the first place.
Sasha, is there a possibility Nicole could give the sympathy vote, and then also Devon and Kevin and David said, you know what, F these people. Let's vote out Tyler.
So yes and no, right? I think theoretically what I believe that the three, right, Devon, Kevin, and David should do is lie. Hello, welcome to Big Brother. And say, you know, we're voting Tyler, voting to keep Tyler, like, you know, we blah, 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 whatever reasons they're going to give, and lie to Nicole especially. And then Nicole feels safe because, going back to the previous point, I don't believe Nicole is necessarily 100% doing it because she sees Ian like a brother. I think it is actually because it's her brand, like Rachel said, but it's also because she got in trouble with production, probably, you know, something at least happened with production. And I think she doesn't want to look bad. I really think it's more that than it is this like idea that she actually cares about Ian. And that's why she's probably not correcting Danny as much as she would.
Melissa, how hilarious would it be somehow if there's a 4-4 tie, Ian ends up staying, Nicole is hysterically crying then after the eviction?
It's possible. I mean,
Nicole, why are you crying? No reason.
So happy you stayed.
I'm fine. Great. I'm just so happy that you're here.
I think that the problem is that, like, in my mind, I'm like, wow, what a great scenario where, you know, Devon and David and Kevin are like, you know, screw them. Like, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to say we're voting to keep Tyler, but instead we're voting to keep Ian. And then Nicole thinks that it's a situation where she can cast a like a safe pinky vote, or like a safe sympathy vote. And she does it. And then it's like, oh, 4-4. But I absolutely see at that point, Danny probably just voting out Ian and Tyler staying, and then Devon, David, and David and
but
Kevin.
Will Danny, Melissa, on live TV, knowing what she knows, national television, for 3 million, 4 million people watching? All right, Danny, the world is waiting for you to decide here.
I mean, it's true, because it is a situation where, according to like what would be shown on the TV show, or at least what Danny is kind of like putting out there for the TV show, like, for example, in the veto ceremony where she says, like, you are the ultimate pawn. I don't want you to go home. I want Tyler to go home. And saying in the diary room, like, I want Tyler to go home, while at the same time being like, yeah, let's get Ian out. I think that, like, that could be something in her mind that's like, okay, wait, this is going to look real bad.
Just to clean this up a little bit, like, no tea to both of you, but like, this is weak sauce. This is not going to happen because, like, number one, here's the problem. Ian doesn't know.
Why can't you let us have any fun, Brent?
I'm sorry. I guess because the chat's like, this is confusing. I just want to make sure that they're clear on what's happening.
Confusing?
So the fact because, like, they don't understand, like, the mechanisms of what's happening here. So that Devon and her group don't know that Nicole wants to give a sympathy vote. If they knew that, maybe they would do this thing about lying and pretending. Yeah. But, like, if they don't know that, there's no reason for them to
pretend. Look, I'm just going to throw out there, I think Ian stays this week.
Okay. Oh, all right.
I think we have a lot of time left.
Put that in the universe.
It gets turned around.
Please.
And I think, I do think Ian stays this week. But, you know, obviously you never know. But I'm just going to throw out there that that's what I think.
I think that's what we want. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I want it. But at the same time, like, I don't even know if I want it. Because if Ian's really going to just target Devon, like, that's like, not great. So I don't know.
I think what we want is Ian to, like, wake up and smell the coffee around here and then try to figure out where he's been had.
That's what we want. Ian needs to wake up. Also, here's the thing. If Tyler goes home and Ian stays, now I think I think that Enzos of the world are now going to look back at Danny. Now, they're currently looking at Devon, but I think they would look back at Danny and be like, okay, she's now more powerful because Ian stayed in the house and she broke a tie in his favor, like in this scenario that we're talking about. So, like, I do think that it would actually be beneficial for, like, people like Devon and stuff to actually try to pull something like this off. But again, they don't know that that's what Nicole wants. She hasn't been honest about the fact that I want to cast a sympathy vote for Ian. If they knew that, maybe they could rig something. But, like, this only happens in fan fiction, you guys. Come on.
Okay. We love fan fiction. Okay.
Yeah, we love it.
Let's... your mama says, over under 3 weeks, how much time does Danny have left in the house?
I'd say under.
Under 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I'd probably say under two. I think she'll be one of the first people to go when the alliance starts kind of imploding.
I think she got a 1 week stay of execution. Kevin or Davon, maybe David, will go home this week, assuming they don't win HOH. And if that happens, the next week is the week that I think she would go home.
Mm-hmm. I'll say the over.
And I think it'll be at Tyler's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting.
If they don't get Tyler out here, I think he's going to the final two.
Look, yeah, he's winning. If he's not going home, I think Tyler's winning.
I don't know if he's winning. I don't know how he's going to come back.
Final two.
I don't know how he's going to come back. We can talk about this tomorrow, but I don't know how he's going to come back from I want to quit the game to give me the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The edit, but, that's how.
You know, don't forget Dani is the veto queen. You know, if she sort of like knows that her back is against the wall, we might see her play a lot differently than in this game where she feels very safe in this house right now, very insulated. Okay, a couple more questions. This is from a unpronounceable name. Is Tyler to Cody as Ian is to Nicole? Who can Nicole fall back on if Ian is evicted? Is there any chance of her still winning at this point? Okay, so how about this? If Ian walks out the door, do Nicole's chances to win walk out with him?
No, I don't believe so. In fact, I think that her chances take a little bit of a hit. But her chances of actually winning the game, I still think are probably about the same as they ever were. It's just her chance of getting actually, and maybe that doesn't make sense, but like, I feel like her win equity is about the same, but actually getting to the end might be a little bit more difficult, without Ian there, because that was somebody who definitely had her back. So,
Okay. All right. Then Matt says, who had the best fake tears of the night, David or Franzel? I feel like I've heard that one somewhere earlier in this podcast. But
I liked
good
the
joke,
double
Matt.
Tears from David, but I liked the glasses from Nicole.
Yes.
Like the pushing up of the sunglasses.
Yeah, that was very Hollywood. That was very
it was.
The drama.
Yeah, it was drama.
Yeah, David got mad at her, by the way, for crying because she wasn't supposed to be crying. But we should note that Ian was supposed to be just like a pawn. He's just a pawn. He's just up on the block. So why is Nicole crying? And she couldn't even help herself. Like, he got named as the replacement nominee. 3 seconds later, she's boohooing over in the corner and having to put the sunglasses on like a diva. So,
if Nicole is really crying, is she crying about Ian leaving or her position in the game?
Her position in the game.
Yeah. Position. Nicole is for Nicole. Like, I don't think we should get that confused.
Yeah. Okay. Then James wants to know, how do you guys think Ian could get out of this? Any chances he could stay this week?
Here's the thing. I do not believe that this 4-4, you know, fanfic is going to happen. However, I do think that there will be a jury buyback.
Yes.
I think that there will be a jury buyback based on the number of people that are left
but
in the
will
house.
Will Ian stay in the jury?
Once he finds out that there's a buyback, I think he might want to. You know, he only has to stay there for 3 weeks and then he can see, you know, or maybe even 2 weeks if there's like a double eviction and, you know, he can quickly find out if he's got a chance to get back in the game or something.
Yeah,
it
I
also
wonder
depends
go ahead, Sasha.
On his handler. It also depends on his handler because he's been talking a lot about I'm going to make my handler's life a living hell. So maybe if the handler I know it's awful, but I'm saying if the handler can get it to make it happen, Ian will stay.
Yeah. People need to be nice to these handlers. I know a little bit about this from being on the pre-jury in Survivor All-Stars. And, you know, I watch Richard Hatch make a grown woman cry over talking about how he was not going to listen to what she said. It wasn't fun and it wasn't great. And, you know, these people are just trying to work. So I think that people should, you know, give these people a break. I do wonder, how about this? Tell me if this is tinfoil conspiracy theory. That did the producers hear this talk in the house and say, okay, we're going to have a problem with any of these people who go on the jury. They're all going to want to leave. We got to do a pre-jury buyback to make sure they stay in the jury. Keep them there another 3-4 weeks so they're closer to when, okay, but hey, you got a chance to go. You can leave, but you got a chance to get back in the house. So you might as well stick around.
And then once they stick around, it's only three weeks left.
Two more weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I absolutely see that.
That might be a smart way that they looked at it, but I don't know if they have that kind of foresight into the psychology of the house guests. But maybe, you know, they're listening in. They know. Let's do one more question. Nat A, is Dani seriously not considering using her power? And last week she can use it. She's definitely in danger of nomination next week. Brent, you sounded convinced that she was going to use it.
I mean, like, she's an idiot if she doesn't. I'll just say that.
Otherwise, use it no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, like, just play, like, you know.
Number one, you get the credit for playing it. Number two, like, okay, well, if you get an opportunity to win HOH again, if you don't win it, oh, well, like, and it's not that powerful of a power. So I don't think people are going to be like so upset. You still have to win the competition. It just doesn't automatically make you HOH. I think that there's no reason for her to just be like, just throw it away. Like, you should never just throw a power away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also important to remember in Big Brother, you're not allowed to lie about your powers. Yeah. You're allowed to lie if you don't have them, but you can't lie and make something up that you don't have, or, you know, lie about the abilities of the powers, unlike on like Survivor, where you can do pretty much whatever you want. So it's not like I could see a scenario where some people would be saying, well, it's good for her to keep the power a secret, because then she could say, well, I have, like, you know, a blocker power. I can do whatever. But because the rules of Big Brother, she can't do that. If she reveals that she has a power, she has to own what it is. Otherwise, she just can't reveal it, period.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is going on robhasawebsite.com. Yesterday, how about this? We were graced with Brendan and Rachel on The Slop. Plus, they talked about everything with Enzo. They played with Enzo. They played with Danny. Of course, the whole rivalry with Nicole Franzel and more. We talked about it all with Brendan and Rachel, who are expecting baby number two. It's a boy. We talked about their photo shoot as well. Plus, Puya Zambakili co-piloted with me yesterday. We talked about Nicole Franzel's spaghetti salad. Melissa, have you seen spaghetti salad?
No, I think I saw a video or a gif of it, but yes. I have not seen it in real life.
Okay. Check some out.
Thank goodness.
Yes. Maggie Morgan called in as well over on The Slop. Then we talked about on News AF a couple of updates about the jelly bean contest, which turned out to be not what we thought it was last week. And a woman who was busted cutting her hand off to try to cash in on a $1.2 million insurance policy. Spoiler alert, they got caught. We talked about that with Danny and Tyson today on News AF. Of course, check this out. Over on Love Island, the great Chantel Francis joined Kirsten and Brian Scally to talk about week four of Love Island in our Rehap Ups feed. And then, of course, if it's Tuesday, the Purple Pants podcast is dropping. Check out what Bryce is talking about every week on the Purple Pants podcast. Then tomorrow morning, join Taryn live at 11 a.m. Eastern for the live feed update. It's how I get my every day started. Lots of fun to catch up with what's going on as we get closer to eviction night. And then on a special Wednesday, it's the LFC Roundtable is back. Brent and Melissa, did you feel like you have left anything left unsaid for tomorrow night?
Oh, plenty. Yeah, I'm
there's always stuff to say.
Right? Yeah, I don't know how Melissa feels, but I definitely like parsed my words a little bit about stuff that I was going to say because I don't want to repeat the same things tomorrow. Like, you know, especially when you're on two shows back to back, you gotta keep it fresh, Rob.
Yes, believe me, I get it. Who's doing better in the stock watch right now, Brent or Melissa?
I believe Melissa is.
Oh, Melissa.
Shockingly.
What's been the secret to your success?
Number one, forget to change anything. Just like forget that the stock watch is happening.
Don't make moves.
Deadlines. Like don't do anything. And then I've just kind of basically done like changed nothing. I've like kept it on the same people except like increase it by one each week. Mm-hmm. So really like do nothing is really what I'd have to say. Like
makes just, sense for this season.
You know, yeah, that's basically what I've done this season. Yeah. And I think it's working.
What everybody else is doing basically on this season. I will say that this tonight, no tea, was the best episode of Big Brother since Kacer won the safety suite. It was the best. Wow. It really was. Like because like period. Everything else up until then has been like really, really terrible from a fan's point of view. Haven't enjoyed the season very much at all. Watching Davon win the veto and watching these people like Cody Califiori light their hair on fire because, oh my gosh, she's going to do something that I don't approve of. I'm like, this is the Big Brother that I grew up on. I love stuff like this. So can we just get one HOH our way, Sasha?
Please, from your lips to God's ears. Let's do it.
Seriously.
Okay. All right. Thursday night. Let's see what happens as we talk about our live eviction ceremony. Join Taryn, Mel Hulst, and Jason Reed live on Thursday night. We break down this big vote, and then also what happens next. Will America vote for HOH, as Brent has predicted, or will we see if they have one more competition left in the can from Big Brother production? Join us live in 48 hours on Thursday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time right here on robisawebsite.com and on our YouTube channel. Of course, all of this podcasting is made possible by the wonderful patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about everything we're doing in our patron community, our patron podcast feeds, and more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, Thursday night, we'll get it all started before the live show with our Big Brother Eviction Night pregame show. I'll send all the patrons out a link on Wednesday if you want to call in and have a chat with us about this vote, about who you'd like to see as the HOH. And let me say, as we move into the second half of the month of September, a great option for those of you who want to become a patron is to look at our annual membership, where you pay for 11 months and get 12. And if you do a monthly option, Patreon will charge you for the month of September, and then you get charged again for October. So as we get closer to the end of the month, maybe something to look at for the annual membership at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, follow us on social media. We've been trying to share more and more clips from the shows and post polls and have all sorts of fun interactive features. You can follow us on Twitter at Rob is a Podcast, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, or our Facebook page, Rob Has a Podcast. All right, Sasha, this was so nice to get to catch up with you tonight. You were so fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it. Like, usually I'm just at home talking about this stuff with my husband, who's a casual. So it was so nice to actually be with y'all.
What does your casual husband say about all this stuff?
He cannot handle the big alliance. And he was also mad today that Devon like didn't get a bigger like edit and a bigger space on the show, because
I like him already.
Say a bigger veto.
Yeah, she should get a bigger veto too.
He watches the challenge with me, so he knows Devon is like actually pretty good on the challenge. So he like, I don't think he quite understands why this is so bad. And agreed, because Devon won, I think, 8 like competitions on the challenge. So
whoa, this is so crazy.
Yeah. She's won, I think, 5 eliminations or something. It's crazy.
Okay. Of course, Melissa, it's such a big day today. I was so proud of you as a part of RHAP. When I saw your video, it was so wonderful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We got to have everyone go watch it. So go check it out. I did a Big Brother Drunk History for Keisha's birthday, and possibly one coming up. So keep your eye out.
Okay. And where do people see that video?
You can find it on my YouTube channel, but I think the best place to go is my Twitter, and then you can find it through there.
Okay. What's your YouTube handle, Melissa?
I think it's just Melissa Denny.
Okay.
I think it's very plain. So
it's
yeah.
Denny. Yep.
Yeah.
Melissa
so Denny. It's easiest to find it through Twitter. And so I already posted it this morning, so okay, you can go ahead and find it there. It's Melissa with 3 A's.
It's Melissa with 3 A's. Okay. All right. And then Brent, you were fired up tonight. Will you permanently switch from Coke to Gatorade?
No, I need my Coke, but I was feeling the Gatorade tonight. I just like the chat was asking me, and I was like, I just didn't want a Coke tonight. Like, you know, like I can vacillate every now and then, you know, like just I'm like that.
If you win the stock watch, will you pour the Gatorade over your own head?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. By the way, can I just say that I don't know if you guys saw in the video, but the door just opened up and it was like there was knocking, and also
we heard a knocking.
Heck?
Yeah,
so I turned around and it's my mom being like, "Tell them day all the way, day all the way."
Yes.
I was like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
like, go away." We're literally in the middle of a podcast.
Okay, get her in here next time.
And next time, the casual corner.
Okay. All right. This was a lot of fun tonight. We will be back in 2 days' time to talk about what's going on between Ian and Tyler. Check out the Stock Watch tomorrow night, Taryn in the morning. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.